This is Radio Boston.
I am Tiziana Deering. It may be September, but here in Massachusetts, 36 communities are still at critical risk for Triple E, 42 are at high risk, and 115 are at moderate risk. And if that's not enough to worry about, the state is also raising new alarms over vaping. There's currently a bill being considered that would ban all flavored tobacco products across the Commonwealth. With all that in mind, we reached out to the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, Monica Burrell. She confirmed for us that this year has, in fact, been an exceptionally bad one for Triple E.
Triple E, this virus, it comes in cycles through Massachusetts, and we have some habitat that is actually particularly conducive to Triple E after Florida, with the second highest state with Triple E cases. They come in cycles, and we happen to be in a bad year right now in Massachusetts. As I'm sure many folks know, we've unfortunately seen 7 human cases of Triple E so far this season, and 8 cases in animals as well.
So, Commissioner, people are genuinely alarmed now about Triple E. And then late last night, your department announced that a man was recently hospitalized with the first human case of West Nile virus in 2019. Was that a surprise for the department? We haven't, you know, seen a lot of news about West Nile this year.
You know, we have not seen much West Nile virus activity yet this year. As you suggest, we had 1 human case that we reported yesterday. To contrast that, last year we had 49 cases of West Nile. But whether it's West Nile or Triple E, the one thing that's really important for people to understand, that personal protection is the most effective way for people to protect themselves from these virus-borne illnesses. And that's about, when we're outside, remembering to have long sleeves on, to wear socks, really being careful when we're outside from dusk until dawn, avoiding it if possible. But if we are, using approved sprays and really protecting ourselves and our young ones and our loved ones.
So that idea, hey, you know, summer's over, school started, the weather's getting cooler, we're safe now, that is a misperception.
Unfortunately, we can still see cases of Triple E in West Nile well into September until our first frost. The most important thing for folks to remember is, as we start with the temperatures getting cooler and fall sports and other things happening, to remember that this is still something each of us has to take seriously. And the most important thing we can do to protect ourselves and our loved ones is personal protection and awareness.
We're seeing some pretty dramatic changes in community practices. You know, there's, okay, no evening sports activities. We're not going to cook on the grill tonight because we might not be safe. Is this the new normal in Massachusetts? No nighttime activities?
I think, you know, mosquito-borne illnesses are important to keep in mind, and it is important for individuals to make sure they're protecting themselves and their loved ones, because there are preventive measures that we can each do. It takes behavior change, which sometimes is hard for all of us. But as we continue to educate ourselves and continue to be aware, this is something really important to consider.
I'd like to ask you now, Commissioner Burrell, about another public health issue, which is vaping. Yesterday, you declared that healthcare professionals should report any unexplained e-cigarette or vaping-associated pulmonary disease to your department. Why is that necessary?
You know, I'm so glad you're asking me about vaping, because we have been extremely concerned about vaping or e-cigarette use among youth for several years now. E-cigarette use by our young people is really a public health epidemic right now. And as the state's chief physician and as a mom, I'm deeply concerned about it. Just to put it in perspective, we know that at least 20% of our high school students are vaping regularly, and at least almost half of them have tried it. So these products can be really harmful, especially to young people. And now we know that there's a newly defined vaping-related pulmonary disease that has sickened hundreds across the country and resulted in at least 6 people dying. And that's why yesterday I mandated that all clinicians in Massachusetts must now report possible vaping-related pulmonary disease to the Department of Public Health, effective immediately.
Commissioner, what kind of symptoms should healthcare providers be looking for in trying to identify this vaping-related pulmonary disease?
The thing, you know, as the CDC has looked at these vaping-related pulmonary diseases, the one thing in common with all of the individuals sickened by disease is the use of an e-cigarette. and the use of the e-cigarette, and then people presenting with things such as cough or shortness of breath or other pulmonary symptoms. And as clinicians do the workup, they then find that there may also be infiltrate seen on a chest x-ray, but no evidence of infection. And we have defined the clinical criteria on our website. It can be obtained of what people should look for. But what I ask all clinicians to report to us, but also for individuals who are using these products to be aware of these symptoms. And if they have symptoms of shortness of breath or cough or any other respiratory symptoms, that they seek immediate medical attention.
So the FDA is reportedly finalizing a ban on flavored vaping products. Is that the right move?
So I know yesterday the president's administration announced that they would be looking into this. And I'd really like to review it and see the details before commenting. But I can say that, you know, vaping among youth people is such a public health crisis, and the flavored vaping products are definitely designed to target youth.
So I wonder if it's a knee-jerk reaction for the FDA to be considering this level of move. There are many other legal products with much higher levels of lethality that are used by broad age ranges of people. We don't entirely know what's causing this pulmonary illness. Is this consideration an overreach from the FDA?
You know, what I'd like us to focus on now here in Massachusetts is what we can do to protect our youth and young people from the hazards of e-cigarette use and vaping. This is what we know. E-cigarettes should never be used by youth, young people, pregnant women, or adults who do not currently use tobacco products. And I advise people who are using e-cigarettes to not buy these products off the street or to modify the e-cigarette products in any way. And I also urge those of us in our communities, whether it's parents or teachers or other adults, to help us talking to children and educating ourselves and them about the addictive potential and the harm that these e-cigarettes can do to youth and young adults.
What steps is your department taking to try to curb young people's usage of vaping and e-cigarettes?
We offer several practical tools on our website that can help individuals with how to start a conversation with young people. We also have tools available for schools and parents in order to both understand this issue and know how to talk to young people. In fact, we have a campaign that was designed by young people so that peers can help educate other peers. And I really urge all of us to understand these products, to understand the dangers of them, and to help keep our kids away from them.
Commissioner, 84% of those who have been sickened by vaping reported that they were actually using unlicensed marijuana-related products. Are we overemphasizing vaping or e-cigarettes in general? Should we be having more focus on unlicensed products rather than legal licensed ones?
You know, one of the reasons I issued the mandate yesterday is because here in Massachusetts, we need more data to understand this issue better. Last month, we asked over 25,000 of our clinicians to voluntarily report to us on vaping-related diseases. And in fact, from that, we have 9 suspected cases that are already under review. Additionally, since the mandate, we're already hearing about additional cases. As we review these cases, this will help us gather information so we can understand the magnitude of the disease in Massachusetts and report to our colleagues at the CDC in order to better understand. We want to contribute to the CDC's knowledge and understanding of what's happening here so that we can get to the bottom of this.
I want to talk about marijuana for a second because the Cannabis Control Commission today supported a measure to require marijuana companies to disclose all ingredients in vaping cartridges sold in licensed marijuana stores. Do you think that's important, and is that a good move?
You know, I would defer to my colleagues at the commission on that. But, you know, obviously the principle behind this is to have these items regulated so that we can keep individuals who are using them safe.
You've given some significant concerns and warnings about e-cigarettes and vaping, especially among young people. What about the argument that e-cigarettes help adult smokers quit or cut back? What should be our overall public health posture towards e-cigarettes and vaping in the Commonwealth?
E-cigarette and vaping use amongst youth and young people in Massachusetts is a public health epidemic.
You said at the beginning of our conversation that you were responding to vaping as a doctor, as a mother, as a healthcare provider. What advice would you give to families who are concerned about their children vaping?
Talking to our children is one of the most effective things we can do. Parents and adults who can influence children's decisions should talk about the truth about e-cigarettes and vaping and have open discussions with our children.
That is Dr. Monica Burrell. She's the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Commissioner Burrell, thanks for being on Radio Boston today.
Thanks for covering these important topics.
So for more on how our Commonwealth, communities, families should be thinking about vaping, we're joined by Dr. Jonathan Winnikoff. He's a practicing pediatrician at Massachusetts General Hospital, and he's the former chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Tobacco Consortium. Dr. Winnikoff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Tatiana.
So let me just start by asking you your reactions to what you just heard from the commissioner.
Well, I think what we're hearing from the commissioner, Dr. Burrell, is that we're in the midst of an epidemic, an additional epidemic on top of a youth epidemic of e-cigarettes, and it's very scary. And right now, we actually don't have any deaths yet reported in Massachusetts, and she and all of us would like to keep it that way.
You referred to a youth epidemic of e-cigarettes. You're a practicing pediatrician. What are you seeing on the ground in terms of vaping and e-cigarette use?
Well, several years ago, it was rare for me to see any kid who was using any tobacco product. And now there's not an adolescent who comes in who isn't either using a product themselves or has a friend who's using. And so this is an epidemic that we see every day. It's causing lung disease. Asthma is the most common one, but we're also seeing allergic reactions in the lung, hypersensitivity pneumonitis. And this latest one is called lipoid pneumonia, and that's one where fat basically gets deposited into the lung, and it makes it impossible to breathe. So patients basically feel like they're drowning, even though they're on dry land.
Okay, that's terrible. That sounds awful. What you said a few years ago, you were seeing almost no tobacco usage. How quickly has this change been? Is this 12 months, 24 months, 48 months? When did this happen?
You know, it's really all since these pod-based systems, these nicotine salts, have come on the market. These are very high-dose nicotine. You may know them as Juuls or Lavas. But essentially, kids are getting them. They're using them in high school. They don't even call the bathroom anymore. They call it the Juul Lounge. This has to stop. Essentially, we don't want anyone to breathe anything into the lungs except for clean air. Clean air is what we're designed to breathe as human beings, and that's what we need to do. There are other forms of nicotine that are safe, that are FDA approved. Those are the nicotine patches. Those are the gums. Those don't include aerosols, ultra-fine particles getting deep into the lung. So I think that's where we need to be, is using safe forms of nicotine for those people who are addicted. And everyone else, please don't vape.
Dr. Winnikoff, what advice would you give to families who are concerned about their children vaping?
Well, we're seeing kids with nicotine addiction who can't get through the day. They are getting suspended because they are vaping in school and getting caught. I think that we need appropriate treatment for these kids. We can't just say zero tolerance.
What does that look like? How do you treat a kid for vaping?
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I try to do is first see if a kid can come off on their own. But more often than not, what I'm seeing is kids needing to be on nicotine patch just so they can remain in school or nicotine gum so that they can continue to participate in sports, which is protective for them. So, yes, we need zero tolerance policies. We shouldn't be using drugs in schools, but we also need to treat kids appropriately. I've been doing that in my clinic with some success. But what I see, unfortunately, is a lot of kids who are addicted who are trapped now because of the companies that really have pushed these flavored products onto our Commonwealth youth.
Dr. Winnikoff, practicing pediatrician at Mass General, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.